Last week I gave an introduction to a series that I will be doing called Marriage Killers. Marriage killers destroy the intimacy of the marriage relationship. God's purpose in the marriage is that the husband and the wife, too, should be one. That is the purpose of God in the marriage. And the word one speaks of closeness. It speaks of intimacy. Jesus himself said, they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let not man separate. This is Matthew 19, verse 6, the words of Jesus. Oneness is a synonym for intimacy. Marriage was designed by God to deliver us from loneliness. And we saw that in Genesis 2:18. The Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make a helpmeet for him. So marriage brings us into companionship. And that is how we should look upon marriage. It is a companionship. Marriage killers seek to separate that which God has joined together in oneness. Marriage killers seek to kill companionship. Many times, these marriage killers are subtle. And they're very gradual. Things that we might take for granted in our relationship. It's very important as a church that we define and identify exactly what these marriage killers are. So we can combat them. So we can resist them. A good, godly marriage takes consistent work, constant diligence to keep out those weeds, those old weeds, like a farmer trying to keep his garden clear of weeds. And if you've ever done any gardening out in the country, weeds grow so fast. I was with my brother last year on his property. And I watched him plow the ground and plant the seeds. And within a couple of weeks, it was all green. And weeds were everywhere. And that's the same thing. If we're not vigilant and we're not watchful, weeds will begin to grow in our marriage. And these worthless weeds need to be plucked out, removed. Things that separate us as a married couple. One thing that lacks today in many Christians' lives is the fact that they don't give attention to their marriage. They say, well, it will just take care of itself. And they don't invest any energy, any time or effort to make the marriage pleasing to God. You know, we have to approach our marriage with zeal. We have to be zealous for our marriage. Very, very important. To be zealous. We can't just wing it. Have you ever heard that before? Just wing it. We don't wing our marriage. We don't wing it. Marriage is a thoughtful process. Planning. We don't take it carelessly. We don't take it in a sloppy fashion. It is sacred. It is holy ground to walk upon, the marriage relationship. You have to be willing to take your marriage seriously. Do what it takes to strengthen your marriage day by day. Today we're going to look at a marriage killer. This is at the top of the list. Many marriages have already died. Many marriages have already died because of this, and many marriages are probably already dying because of this. This is possibly the reason why 86% of marriages are divorced today is due to this. It is the marriage killer of bad communication. Bad communication. Good and effective communication is no small issue when it comes to relationships, especially marriage. All relationships are established and developed and maintained by the means of communication. We need communication. The relationship we have with the Lord Jesus Christ is due to the fact that He took the initiative and communicated to us through His Word. He put His words in the mouths of holy prophets, and they spoke to us the will of God. 2 Peter 1:21 says, "For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit." So God has clearly communicated to us through His Word. And that allows us to know something about Him. What pleases Him? What doesn't please Him? We would never know these things about God unless God chose to communicate to us in words. In words. Without it, we'd be left to guess. We would be left to guess exactly what is the will of God. We would presume to know what God's will is if we didn't have His Word. Guesswork. And that would definitely, most definitely lead to error and misunderstandings. Some people don't have a relationship with God because they refuse to listen to His words. God likens His relationship with His people as a marriage relationship. We spoke about that last week. Under the Old Covenant, God the Father, God was the husband of Israel. And in the New Covenant, Jesus Christ is the husband of the church. And a key to having a closer walk with God, a more intimate walk with God as a Christian, is to have regular communication with Him. A healthy spiritual relationship is marked by transparency, by openness, and honesty. When Christian people don't read their Bibles, they don't pray, their relationship with God will fade. It will fade away. It will become distant and separated. Amos 3:3 says, "Can two walk together except they be agreed?" Continued, uninterrupted communication always leads to a more deeper, closer, intimate, and satisfying relationship as a Christian. Research has said that married couples that regularly, on a regular basis, freely share their thoughts, their ideas, their feelings, their expressions, are more likely to stay married than those who fail to communicate. Why is that? Is that just some psychobabble that some secular psychologist came up with? No. The reason is for this. Intimacy. Communication is about intimacy. It builds, it encourages intimacy like nothing else. A marriage is more than sharing the same toothpaste. Hello? Marriage is more than sharing the same toothpaste. It's more than sharing a living space. Most Christian marriages do not have the intimacy that the Bible speaks about because they lack communication. And again, this is not pop psychology. This is common sense. This is biblical principles of godly communication. Intimacy covers many areas in the marriage. But there are four main areas of intimacy in a marriage relationship which are all based on communication. You build these areas through communication. The first level or area, I should say area, of intimacy is intellectual intimacy. This is when a couple openly shares their ideas, their thoughts, their experiences with each other in the marriage. Then there is emotional intimacy. This is when you share with each other how you feel, your emotions about things that happen in life. The third area is spiritual intimacy, a very important area of intimacy. This involves sharing with each other about your spiritual life. Praying with one another. Talking about what you heard in the sermon. Talk about what you had read in your quiet time together when you have a chance. Sharing your walk with each other. What's going on? What is the Lord doing in your life? And sharing that with each other. Spiritual intimacy, many times missing. In fact, many times there's arguments over this area. I know I've heard of some couples when they start talking about the Bible, we don't talk about the Bible anymore, because when we talk about the Bible, we get into arguments. The fourth one is a very, very important one, and that is physical intimacy. And this involves being physically close with your partner. You know, that's okay as a Christian. Hello? You know, you can be close to each other now that you're married. You guys aren't laughing at my jokes. All right. I won't joke anymore. Physical touch is one of the most powerful ways to communicate to each other. And this involves the marriage bed, which is not just for procreation. Please understand that. We'll get more into that. But it communicates. It communicates the most intimate bond and expression of a one flesh relationship. And that's why the Bible says if it's not practiced in a marriage, it's sin. That's sin. And we'll get into that. 1 Corinthians 7, Paul made it very clear. Four areas of intimacy: intellectual, emotional, spiritual, physical. All these areas are intensified and strengthened and built up through good communication with your partner. The more you exercise good communication in a proper way, the more intimate your marriage will be in all these areas. Now, the problem in a marriage many times is that you'll have one person or both persons, they're not very good at expressing themselves. And the very sad thing is sometimes they don't care. They just accept that, and they don't try to rectify the situation. They don't try to correct the problem. Communication, listen to this, communication is a skill. It is a skill. And like any other skill, you have to learn it. You have to practice it until you become proficient at it. We will never experience what God has in mind for the marriage if we don't learn to communicate with each other in a better way. So here's the question. What is good communication? What is good communication? We have to speak to one another. I know that sounds simple. I know it sounds simple, but you know what? It's very missed today. When I say speak, it means that we open our mouths and we talk openly, honestly, and clearly. Wouldn't it be great if you could read your partner's mind? You know? I think that'd be great. That you could actually at any time during the day know what your partner is thinking, and they could know what you're thinking without them ever speaking anything or saying anything or behaving in a certain way. You would know what they're feeling. Mind readers. God did not make us that way. God did not make us mind readers. We don't communicate through telepathy. Right? Telepathy. Just throwing thoughts to each other without ever speaking, by just looking at each other's eyes. And they say that that's chemistry flowing between us. I don't know. That's all weird stuff. We can't rely on that stuff. All right? Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2:11, "For what man knows the things of man except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God." You know what Paul is saying here? Paul is saying, you are the only one who knows what's going on in your mind. You only know what's going on inside of you. I cannot, with 100% absolute assurance all the time, know what my spouse is thinking or feeling. We can never know what is inside a person, inside their mind, by just looking at them. Oh, there are cues, there are hints, by a person's behavior, by their body language, but you could never know 100% exactly, precisely, what is going on in another person's mind. What are they feeling by just looking at them? For example, if a person started crying, and you saw them crying, you wouldn't know whether they were happy or sad. Right? Only if that person chooses to tell you, then you would know what's behind the tears. That's good communication. That's good communication. It's about talking. It's about talking. Sounds simple, but so missed today. Communicating to each other about what's going on inside. And the best way to get to know another and avoid misunderstandings is to have open communication. I really like what one writer said about the role of the husband in open communication as the head of the wife. He says this, although both the husband and wife are responsible to communicate and be open with each other, it is the husband's responsibility as the leader of the household to ensure that the channels of communication are continually open. Hello, husbands. In marriage, we need to talk. We need to talk. Not to yourself. Hello? Not self-talk. And we do that many times, you know, when we get mad and we walk away and we talk to ourselves. I just can't believe we do that. Self-talk. We do enough of that, all right? We need to talk to each other. I know we're all busy. But in a marriage, it is important that we express verbally what we are thinking, what we are feeling to our partner. Don't leave your partner in a place where he and she has to play the guessing game. Don't play the guessing game with your spouse. You know, I want them to read between the lines of how I'm feeling. This will lead to conflict. It will lead to misunderstandings. Good communication in a marriage keeps the guesswork out of the relationship. Keep the guesswork out of your marriage. Communication. When you communicate openly, you are no longer trying to read each other's minds, wondering what certain behavior means, what certain actions I must interpret to mean this. Don't expect your partner to be a mind reader. Ladies especially. Are you with me today? Don't expect your partner to know what you're thinking and feeling if it's never expressed in words. Because many times things will get misinterpreted, misunderstood. And for the most part, we'll have to guess, and our guess will be wrong. And the result will be strife, there will be conflict and misunderstandings that will lead to further separation. Make your speech clear in marriage. Make it direct. Avoid being vague. Avoid being indirect in communication. Don't beat around the bush. Do you have that saying here? Don't beat around the bush in your verbal communication with your spouse. Speaking ambiguously. Leaving one open to misinterpretations and misunderstandings. For example, if your spouse has done something to offend you, don't keep it inside. Don't keep it inside. And stop talking to them. And expect the spouse that you think did wrong to you, to read your body language and come to you and say this, Is there anything wrong? You are wrong. You are wrong. That is against the Bible. Matthew 18:15. Jesus told us how to have good communication. And I think this applies to the marriage relationship. It says, moreover, if your brother sins against you, if your spouse sins against you, he's a brother. What do? Suffer in silence. Right? No. You go and tell. Speak. Tell. Go and tell him his fault between you and him. If he hears you, you have gained your brother. If you ever feel that you've been wronged by your spouse, it is your responsibility to share your perceptions to your spouse in a positive way and not suffer in silence. Don't bring guesswork into the marriage. Keep the guesswork out. It's bad communication. You don't want your spouse to have to come to you and say, did I do something wrong? You're not talking to me. You look kind of angry. That's poor communication. You should have told him what was wrong. Poor communication. Bringing guesswork into the marriage relationship. And you know what? Guesswork does not build intimacy. It does not build oneness. It builds misunderstandings. And we don't want misunderstandings. Because they end up piling up, right? And they never get resolved. Don't make your spouse have to guess by your body language and read between the lines that something is wrong between you and her or him. And that, I believe that is absolutely wicked and detrimental to the oneness and intimacy of the marriage. If your spouse has sinned against you, it is your responsibility to go to him and openly tell him his fault. Once a marriage communication breaks down, problems begin to appear on all fronts. And they escalate as partners begin to repeat the same mistakes over and over again. It's a vicious cycle. One writer said this, when couples are not open and honest with each other, minor problems fester and develop into major blow-ups. Unresolved issues pile up in the marriage relationship until the problems seem unmanageable. This is why open, honest communication is absolutely necessary if we are to reach intimacy. So the rule is this, if you want your spouse to know what you think, what you feel, what you desire, what you wish, we have to open our mouth. We have to communicate and talk about it. Don't expect them to read your mind. Don't make them a mind reader. Don't revert to body language. Don't revert to body language. Try to communicate to your spouse verbally what's going on inside. The husband and wife should work at open communication until it becomes a habit in the relationship. And verbal communication is absolutely essential in order to understand what's going on inside a person. You know, expecting your partner to fulfill unspoken desires is asking for the impossible. It is very important that we communicate and speak what we desire on the inside. One writer said this, wouldn't it be better to openly share with them so that they at least have a chance to accommodate your desire and to fulfill it? How much wiser to openly and honestly share our desires so our spouse has no question about what we would like. It is not our responsibility to control the decision of our spouse, but it is our responsibility to let them know what we would like or not like. If you really want to be one with your partner, close, share what's on the inside. Share your life with your spouse. Communicate, talk with each other. Once these lines of open communication are cut, intimacy will be drained out of your marriage. Drained out. One writer said this, with open communication, husbands and wives will not only avoid misunderstandings and unnecessary arguments, but will also get to know each other more and more as time progresses. So marital communication should not be a puzzle. It should not be an enigma. It should be open and clear. Now I know in this culture, a lot of things are done with body language. But remember, we're talking about the Bible here. We're talking about clear, open communication. And body language does not communicate the clearest of what's going on inside a person and how they feel. Now, in the marriage, there are different levels of communication. Because you could be sitting there today and say, well, I communicate in my marriage. I talk to my wife. There are different levels of communication. The first level I want to look at this morning is surface level. We call this small talk. How are you today? Good. How'd you sleep last night? Great. Weather's nice today. Be careful, honey. Have a good day. Good night. Love you. Thank you. Small talk. At this level, we communicate many times throughout the day. It's small talk. These are the nice, polite things that are expected of us in our communication with others throughout the day. It's very important. This level of communication is very, very important, and it's not totally useless. But you know what? It's not deep. It's not intimate. Very low in intimacy. We really don't get to know what's going on inside a person at this level. It's surface. No emotions are shared. No thoughts are shared. You know what? Some couples are only at this level of communication. And that's all they're at. And you can imagine it's kind of a silent household when you have just small talk, okay? A marriage relationship can become very cold and distant if the couple chooses to stay at this level. And some don't even properly function at this level. They don't even function at this level. The worst breakdown of communication in a marriage is engaging in silent treatment. Is when the couples don't talk to each other at all. And they're going through the silent treatment punishment of each other. Where they won't talk to each other at all. I think it's a terrible thing when couples don't say goodbye to each other when they leave the house. Or hello when they come into the house. There are couples like that. The husband goes to work, slams the door. Oh, I guess my hubby left today. He slammed the door. You know, comes home. Guess he's home. You know, you don't. No hi. No welcome. And this is basic level stuff. This is basic level communication. And this is just the decency of this communication. If it's missing, there are problems. They don't say thank you. Your wife gives you a plate. You know, people don't say thank you. You hold the door for your wife. She doesn't say thank you. Walks right by. You know, this is not good stuff. This is not good communication. This is the low level stuff. This is not even intimate. When you're not functioning at this level properly, it's a very big sign of that you are familiar with one another. And you stop doing the things that you did before you were married or even early in your marriage. Boy, when you first got married, or even before you got married, doors were opened. You know, you were Mr. or Mrs. Romantic and the chivalry was there and everything was thank you, yes, hi, how are you today, 5 calls a day, you know. And hey, well, when that stuff goes, it's due sometimes because you become familiar with each other and take each other for granted. It's another marriage killer. We won't get into that this morning. The second level of communication is that you just share facts. You just share information, explanations. It's the who, what, where, why questions. This communicates the what takes place, the actual facts, the factual information. But that's where it stops. Like, how are we getting to church today? Who's taking the kids to tennis? Did you pay the electric bill? Honey, can you get some milk on the way home and bring some bread? These are just communicating facts of information. This level is very important too, a very important level of communication. But you know what? It's still surface. It's not deep stuff. And again, marriage relationships, poor marriages survive at this level. Okay, poor marriages have this kind of communication. They simply share the facts to carry on daily life. Simply share the facts to continue on daily life. Is that intimacy? No. The third level is the opinion level. Now we're getting a little more deeper here, a little more personal. Then we start stating facts and we give our opinion about them. And we express our opinion. So we are starting to share something that's inside. Now there's a risk here. When you start to share your opinion could be challenged. It could be questioned. And some people don't like to have their opinions questioned or challenged. So what happens? They quickly give their opinion and they revert back to level one. Because they don't want any confrontation. They don't want any discussion. They don't want any to be challenged. They don't want conflict. So therefore, they just share a little bit about their opinion about facts. The fourth level of communication is the most intimate level. This is when a couple is free. A couple is transparent before each other. They're not hiding how they really feel from each other. There's no guesswork. At this level, you speak the truth in love. You're open, you're forthright, you're honest, and your spouse expects that from you, and you expect that from your spouse. They know each other, that they can speak the truth to each other. They're not insecure. They both know that they can share anything with each other. Anything with each other without being rejected. Without being put down. Without the other person becoming defensive and reacting negatively. They know that their spouse respects them as an individual. And their ideas, even if they are different, they let them be spoken. At this level, they share their inner feelings with each other. How they hurt. Whether they were mad. Whether they were disappointed, excited, lonely. They know that their spouse will be there for them to listen, to encourage, to support, to understand. Isn't this a great level of intimacy? They share the inside world. Things and experiences that you would never know unless they spoke about them. This is the way verbal communication should be in a one flesh marriage. Our feelings are more private than our thoughts. And at this level, feelings are shared. And you know, I always kind of make light of feelings, but I think feelings are very important to be shared in a marriage if you're going to have intimacy. If we don't share our feelings, we're cutting away something from our spouse that is about us, about who we are. One writer said this, if you do not share your feelings with your spouse, they will likely show up in your behavior. But your spouse may have little indication as to why you are behaving as you are. When you share your feelings and the experiences upon which they are based, however, then your spouse has a clearer picture of where you are at the moment. Hopefully, he or she will choose an appropriate response. Question is this morning, do we share Every single feeling, every single thought that crosses our mind with our spouse? No. Hello, no, no, we don't. All right, I just want you to know that this morning. Some thoughts and some feelings are not worthy to be shared because they're rather bizarre. How many have bizarre thoughts sometimes? Bizarre feelings, to say the least. Crazy thoughts and these strange passing feelings that are weird should not be shared. Oh, honey, I just want to be open with you. I just want to be honest with you. I really didn't feel any love for you today. Do you share that? I read one story where this couple, 3 months after they were married, the guy told his wife, you know, I just want to be open with you. I want to share everything. I just want to pour all out to you. I was getting a coffee today, and I met an old girlfriend at the coffee shop. And, you know, we just sat down and had coffee. And I don't know why I had feelings for her. 3 months after he's married. You think that went over well? Nope. So we don't share every feeling, every thought, the weird stuff that comes into our minds, stuff that's not going to edify and encourage. For a Christian, we have a responsibility to speak in a way that promotes godliness, that leads to edification. Paul said, let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one, Colossians 4:6. Ephesians 4:29, Paul said, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. You might be asking this morning, is level 4, communication, the most intimate level, is it realistic? Can it really truly be achieved in a marriage? And how do I keep my marriage? If I get to that level where I am sharing what's on the inside and my wife is sharing what's on the inside and we have free-flowing communication, how do we keep that? We have to overcome certain barriers to good communication. And there are some points I want to share this morning that can either be barriers to communication or it can promote communication, good communication. The first one is listening. Listening. A huge component in communication is listening. How we listen to our spouse can either be a barrier or promote and excel intimacy in the marriage. The question we need to ask ourselves this morning, what kind of listening environment have we cultivated in our marriage? Good, attentive, undivided listening creates a climate. It creates an atmosphere in the marriage for open talking, open discussion. One writer says, it takes two good listeners to make one intimate marriage. Two good listeners to make one intimate marriage. Your spouse needs to have your attention when he or she is sharing something with you. A skill in the art of listening is to give your partner undivided attention when she or he is talking. Not looking somewhere else, not falling asleep. What did you say? What'd you say? Not your daydreaming. Oh, yeah, I got you. And, you know, sometimes, I don't know a lot of us what we have at home. Maybe you have a TV or a computer. Staring at the computer screen while someone's talking to you. And you're saying, uh-huh, yeah, I understand. No, that's not good communication. That's not good listening. You're not, when someone wants to share something with you, you turn that off. You turn around and you look them in the eye. This establishes intimacy. This establishes a connection and open communication that you have value upon what they're saying. If you continue to look at something, look at the computer screen, yeah, I got you, I understand. Yep, yeah, I totally feel the same way. Yep, uh-huh. Or look at a book, you know, or look outside the window or whatever. Your spouse is going to lose interest in coming to you and sharing with you because she thinks or he thinks you're not interested. And there goes the closeness. There goes the intimacy. Also keep in mind, husbands and wives should never give the impression that what the other has to say is unimportant and stupid. Undivided attention communicates love. Undivided attention communicates concern. It communicates value and respect for the person. Husbands, especially, listen to this. When your wife wants to talk to you, stop what you're doing. We're doers. We like to do. Stop what you're doing. And if you can't stop what you're doing, I was giving this example to my wife. I bounce a lot of these things off of her. I might be watching the last minute of the cricket match or something, you know, and it's just coming down to the last few minutes, and like you are concentrating, and your wife wants to share something with you. There's a way to communicate. Hey, wait, whoa! You could say, hey, you know what? I said, just give me 1 minute, and I know what you have to say is important, and I'll get to it, but just give me 1 minute, and let me finish what I have to do. And anybody who's got any sense will say, okay, fine, just let me, I got one. There's a way to communicate that you're busy and you can't listen properly at that time. It's not that you don't care or you think what they say is not important. Okay? Communicate that, all right? Let them know that. Because they think that that thing is more important than what they have to say. Communication could be misinterpreted. Another way also to enhance communication skills in listening is by body language. Nodding your head, agreeing, putting your hand on their arm, I understand. Bring your chair closer to them so you can see them better. Again, turning off the TV, turning off the computer, whatever you have to do so you have undivided attention. These are all ways that you show, you communicate interest to your spouse. Good listening, thoughtful concentration. And also, you know what? If you don't understand something your spouse shares, or you don't think that your spouse understood what you shared, question. Question. If you don't understand what they share, just say, you know, what did you mean? I didn't understand it. Clear up the communication with questions. And if you don't think they're understanding, you know what I meant, right? You understand what I said? Take that check to the bank and you know, deposit it in this thing, this account, right? And just make it clear. Make your communication clear. It gets rid of so many conflicts. Don't leave it vague. Oh, this is a big one. Response. A great hindrance or possibly promote open communication is in our response to each other. One of the great hindrances of intimate communication and the closeness in a marriage is how we react or respond when our spouse to what our spouse has to say. Here's the question I want to ask this morning. What is your response to your spouse when they desire to open up to you? Do you interrupt your spouse? Do you shut them down before they finish speaking? I call it the steamroller. The steamroller. Men could be that. Men could be steamrollers, you know? We just steamroller over top of the woman's communication. No, that's not the way it is! And we just roll over top of them and... Do you express negative body language when your spouse wants to communicate to you and share with you? What is negative body language? Hands on the hips, right? That's like... And sometimes you just walk out of the room, right? Nonverbal communication is about 55% of total communication. Nonverbal communication is 55% of total communication. What's your voice tone? You know, there's a different ways of saying things with your tone of voice. I love you, honey. You know I love you. Or you can say, I love you. You know, like there's a way to say, you know, like she's really going to think you love her. Of course I love you. There's a tone. That tone means a lot. Let me tell you, the tone means a lot. The tone of your voice has almost 5 times the impact of the actual words. One statement may be given completely different meaning simply by changing the inflection in your voice. Do we raise our voice? Do we use sarcasm in our voice? A mocking way of talking to our spouse? Do we communicate in a condescending way? Do we make our spouse feel like a 3-year-old when we try to explain something to them? You ever have a husband do that to their wife? Make them sound like they're idiots by taking them through steps like a 3-year-old? You know, I've seen and witnessed husbands do that, and it's kind of embarrassing. Not in our church, somewhere else, over there in the West somewhere. You know, honey, you put the key in the car, turn it on. You know, it's talking to them like they are like they're a little kid or something. It's mocking. It's talking down to them. This kind of negative body language, this kind of voice communicates an attitude. You know what it communicates? It communicates that you are closed off, that you are shut down, that you don't want to hear. Listen, we never want to communicate to our spouse that we're closed off to listening to them. Never. Never communicate to your spouse that you are closed off. It's an instant killer of intimacy. You never want to do anything that would close off the communication lines between your spouse. You know what also? It reveals arrogancy. It reveals pride. And it will bring misery into the marriage. Love in a relationship gives freedom. It gives room for the others to express themselves, even if they're different. Ask your spouse, is there anything... Go home today. This is homework. Homework, guys and girls, married couples. Go home and ask your spouse, is there anything that you don't share with me? Because in the past, possibly, I either got defensive, or because you think I'll get irritated. Or do you share everything with me? It shouldn't be that my spouse doesn't share certain things with me because she knows it's going to flick a switch. Right? I'm going to get offended. I'm going to get irritated. It shouldn't be. We should ask ourselves, why are we oversensitive about certain issues? Why do I get irritated and defensive when my spouse brings up certain topics? Try to work these things out in your marriage. Don't let these things go on. Do your best to change in these areas. Challenge yourself to overcome this. There should not be things that your spouse, the one who is one flesh with you, cannot share with you. That's horrible. Do you want that in your marriage? Do you want your wife or your husband to hide things from you and not share them because you get defensive? Or you get irritated? Something's wrong with you. In the marriage relationship, the communication highway between you and your spouse must be free. It must be open, uninhibited, no reservations in what you can talk about. Talk about any subject, any topic, any feeling. Never hindered. One writer says, what is required is an attitude of acceptance. We want to create an atmosphere in which both of us feel safe to share thoughts and feelings honestly, and to know that our spouse will seek to understand, even if they don't agree with us. Oh, here's a big one. Huge one. Differences. My wife and I are very different. We are so different. We do agree on the greater issues of life. Greater issues of life related to the faith. And that's really what matters, let me tell you. That really is what matters. But we did not get married because we agreed on every issue. that we had the same likes of each other. I hope she enjoys my differences, because I have learned to enjoy her differences. But one writer said this, differences can be deadly, or differences can be delightful. It depends upon what you choose. Differences should never be considered something that hinders marriage intimacy, unless you choose to let them. A married couple can have night and day differences, night and day different personalities, and still be the most intimate. You know why? Because of love. Because of love. Now, I think all of us here today understand that God made man and woman to be different. There is a design in the sexes that are different. Male and female are different people. And we need to respect and appreciate how God designed us as a man and as a woman, and not destroy those differences. Not to try to correct them. However, there are individual differences that male and females have with one another. Personality-wise, temperament, even beliefs. And this is where problems can come in. You know, some people get divorced very quickly after marriage because they find out they're incompatible. They say, I'm incompatible with my partner. And you know what the courts in the West, they call this irreconcilable differences. We are divorced on the grounds of irreconcilable differences. There are many differences that we have in a marriage. One person could be a morning person. One person could be a night person. One person could be a quiet person. The other one could be a talkative person. One could be a neat person. The other could be a slob. Many differences we could go over. But you know, many couples invest all their energy in trying to change each other so that they have no differences. And you know what? It ain't going to work. God did not make everyone like you. Thank God for that, right? It's kind of like a puzzle. All the pieces are different shape. Can you imagine if all the pieces were one shape? Try to put that puzzle together. You know, you wouldn't be able to put the puzzle together. They're all different shapes and sizes. And then they fit together to form a beautiful picture or whatever that puzzle might be. They come together in unity. So God made everybody different. To become one does not mean we lose our individuality. Okay? To become one does not mean we lose our individuality. Intimacy is not about losing individuality. One of the essential ingredients in intimacy is allowing each partner to be himself or to be herself. Very important. One writer said this, "It is God's purpose that we become one, but it's never God's desire that we become the same on every single thing." Intimacy and oneness in a marriage relationship allows differences. It allows room for differences. And believe me, I'm sure you found this out if you're married, there are many differences that you have with your spouse. If you want intimacy in your marriage, you must learn to accommodate the differences. That means that you must compromise. That means you must be flexible. And I'm not talking about accommodating something that is sinful, something that is a moral issue, an undisciplined life per se. But we have to understand that two people may feel different about the same thing. And how we communicate our differences is really important in the marriage. In a marriage, we should always have our spouse have their interest in our mind. We want them to be happy. We want them to be joyful. You communicate respect when you give your spouse the freedom to be an individual. Accepting them when you don't agree with them. How about that one? accepting your spouse when you don't agree with them. Respect gives people the freedom to be who they are, to think what they think, and to feel what they feel. Love is not oppressive in nature. It's not about conforming everyone to your ideas, to your ways of doing things. Love in a relationship like marriage gives liberty and freedom of expression to be different. Understand this morning? It's very important that we as married couples give each other freedom to think differently, to feel differently in the marriage. One writer said, rather than condemning one another, we seek to understand our spouse's thoughts and feelings, looking for ways to grow together in spite of our differences. In spite of our differences. Another problem with differences, sometimes we have differences, but we never talk about them. We never resolve our differences. A great way to resolve your difference is to ask yourself why their difference irritates you. What is it about their difference that they have that irritates you, that upsets you? If you have a difference, it's good to talk about it, not to avoid it. But it should not separate your intimacy. Resolve your differences. Don't let them become a barrier in your relationship, especially the small, trivial things. And that's usually what the barriers are. The barriers are those small, trivial issues, and we make them huge. And you know what? We have to accept the fact that some of these differences will never change. They will never change. You might be an early riser, and your spouse might be a late riser. Is there anything wrong with that? I'm not talking about a person sleeping at 12 o'clock in the afternoon. Obviously, we're not talking about laziness here. But if they don't wake up at 4:30 in the morning, and you wake up at 4:30 in the morning, that's a difference, okay? You go to bed at 10. You wake up at 4. They go to bed at 12 or 11, and they wake up at 8 or 9. I mean, these are differences that sometimes will never change, and I don't know if we should try to change them. As long as it's not sin, we should enjoy the differences of the other person and what they bring to the marriage and their differences. Accommodate the difference. You know, there's something your spouse likes, but you don't particularly like. Your spouse might like to go walking barefoot in the grass. I don't know if Prabita likes that. But there might be someone in the room today that they like to go walking barefoot in the grass and smell flowers and stuff like that. And you're like, that's the last thing I want to do, you know? Accommodate the difference. Accommodate one another. And see how it brings you closer together in intimacy. Learn to love your spouse's differences. Time. Oh, this is a big one. This could be a hindrance or a help. We all have busy schedules. And normally, unless the husband works at home like I do, the married couple is usually apart from each other for most of the day. Some longer than others. But let me just say this. Some couples are separated for maybe 10 hours a day. And then the husband comes home, and his wife says, "How was your day?" And he says, "Fine." 10 hours of the day are summed up in one word: fine. Do you think that communicates intimacy? Do you think that communicates actually what went on during the day? Fine. That is not a sufficient summary of 10 hours of the day. Fine. Every couple needs a daily time where they can look each other in the eye and talk and listen and share their day with each other. A quality time spent is the most fundamental exercise a couple can do to enhance their intimacy with each other, a quality time together every day. It doesn't have to be really long, but a quality time of where you share what went on during the day. This could be over a meal. This could be over tea. This could be over coffee. And you know what? Sometimes good communication takes planning. Planning a daily sharing time with your spouse. According to one research study, couples who have a sit-down, look-at-me, let's-talk time each day have a higher level of intimacy than those couples who simply talk whenever, wherever. Couples who practice daily sharing time will tend to talk more with each other at other times as well. Many couples go through days without sharing anything with each other. Days. Each is involved in their busy schedule, and they simply communicate those things necessary to carry on the daily routine. You know, some find it very offensive to even think about scheduling a time to talk with my husband or a time to talk with my wife. I got to schedule it? Spontaneous. We should have a spontaneous marriage. This communication stuff should be spontaneous. It should just come. One writer said this. I love what he says. In our highly regimented society, if we do not schedule quality time with our spouse for communication, for sexual involvement, for discussion of issues, and for solving problems, we will likely accomplish our goals only sporadically. Scheduling should not be viewed as a negative, but a positive. The fact that our spouse cares enough to schedule this activity or this quality time together is emotionally encouraging. We can still be spontaneous in the way we use our schedule time. The purpose of the schedule is to make sure the time is available. So listen, if you want to improve the communication in your marriage, which leads to greater intimacy, get a calendar out today when you go home. Get a calendar out, sit down together, and find a time during the day where you can look at each other and talk with each other and share with each other. A quality time, a walk in the park after a meal. Go down to the local coffee shop and have a coffee or a tea together. Doesn't have to be something out of the ordinary. You don't have to go bungee jumping or anything like that. For most of us, if we don't schedule this ahead of time, it won't happen. It just won't happen. What does this communicate? If we do this, if we sit down and plan a time where we're going to share, where little Johnny or Harry are in bed, and we're going to have a time, I use those words, I don't know why, but those names are the only ones that came to my mind, Johnny and Harry. But they're in bed and we use a time where we have a time. This is where we're going to talk with each other. And you know what? Maybe you don't have anything to say. You're just looking at each other. No, I'm just kidding. No, you think of three things. To start out, you say, well, I don't know what to talk about. Think of three things that happened to you during the day and talk about them. I guarantee you things will start, it will start to flow. And you know what this communicates? This communicates that you have put a priority on your marriage. That you have put a priority, that marriage for us is a priority. I don't care what the world thinks, but our marriage is a priority. In closing this morning, I told you this was going to be a long message. Sometimes we have problems communicating our love to our spouse, especially men. Boy, we have a hard time sometimes, guys. Communicating love. There are five. I found five. I really think these were very helpful to me. And if they were helpful to me, I'm sure they'll be helpful to you. Five different ways that we can communicate love to our spouse. Number one, we've already gone over. Verbal communication. Words. Oh, I like that dress. Oh, thank you so much. That meal was the best meal I ever had. These things build intimacy. These compliments. The house is so clean today, honey. You really must have worked hard. leave notes for each other. write little notes to each other and leave them in the car or leave them in the kitchen. These kind of things, they build intimacy. They build a connectiveness with each other, a oneness with each other. And let me tell you, they'll go a long ways. Words. Also, giving gifts. Giving gifts is a great way to communicate to someone that you love and bring them a flower. It doesn't have to be on Valentine's Day or whatever stupid day the world celebrates. I never celebrate that stuff. I do it on a really strange occasion that doesn't call for it and just all of a sudden show up with flowers. Or buy your husband a nice shirt. Not on Father's Day or some strange holiday, but buy them a nice shirt or do something or bring them a gift of something. It will do wonders for your marriage. A gift giving. It communicates appreciation. Number three, acts of service. Acts of service. This is really important. Do something you know that your spouse would like you to do. Get the leaking sink fixed. How about that one? That old leaking, that sink has been leaking forever. When are you going to get it fixed, honey? Take care of the kids while your wife goes to the salon. Wash the dishes. Hey, wash the dishes. Wash the dishes. Anything that you know your spouse will desire. Fix your husband his favorite meal or his favorite dessert. These kind of things communicate that you love them, that you want to be intimate with them. Okay. Number four is quality time. Again, we've talked about this. Giving your spouse undivided attention. Show them that you care even enough to give your time to them. Very powerful emotional communicator is time. Time. Take a holiday together. Hey, you know what? If you haven't gone on a holiday, put it on the old Visa card or old MasterCard and go on the old holiday. Hey, I'm just kidding about that. But really, I think vacation is of God. And I think couples need to go, get out of the schedule, get away for a while, and don't go to necessarily, and I love my in-laws, don't necessarily go with the in-laws, but go away on a vacation and go spend time together in a place where there's not going to be a lot of stress. Don't go where your wife has to do a lot of cooking and, you know, or the husband has to chop down trees or something in order to heat the house, you know. Go fishing in the stream for food. Number five, physical touch. Many times there are things that words cannot express, only a touch can. Be a touchy person in a marriage. Not touchy with your emotions. But be a touchy person. Touch, 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 touch. Okay? It's of God. It communicates intimacy. Keep your hands on your spouse. That is the command of Jesus, right? I don't know where it's at, but I can find it. Give me time, I'll find it. All right, give me some time, all right? Be affectionate. There is power in a touch. Holding hands, a hug, a kiss. Very important. In closing this morning, if you're not a good communicator, become a good communicator. For the sake of your marriage. Work at your marriage. Work at communication in your marriage. Bring it into intimacy. Make your marriage pleasing to God. And you know what? Change always comes through choice. The most positive changes in life take place because we decide that they will happen. God created us with the most powerful thing, the power to choose. And the Bible over and over again puts an emphasis upon human choice. Good, godly, open communication, honest communication is largely dependent upon choice. When you decide to change an unhealthy pattern, the grace of God will always be abundant for you. 2 Corinthians 9:8. Paul said, God is able to make all grace abound toward you. The grace of God empowers us to break whatever destructive pattern that we have in our communication in our marriage. A pattern of lack of communication, a pattern of no communication at all, a pattern of poor communication. But this will not change overnight. It will take practice. And there will be many times where we'll have relapses. And we'll go back to the old way of bad communication. But think of those relapses as not failure. It's not failure. That is part of the normal way of changing. We're going forward. We might have a little bit of a failure. We recognize it. We isolate it. And then we say, hey, we're going back. We're going forward again. It's part of normal change of a pattern. Is failure and relapse. But we recognize it and continue on. And you know what? Make yourself accountable to your spouse. Make yourself accountable. Listen to what this writer says. A periodic checkup with your spouse will be helpful. Seek their honest feedback. Habits and patterns, by their nature, tend to be tenacious. Periodically, we need to discuss our progress with each other. Saying to our spouse, be honest with me, have I slipped back into my old pattern this week? That opens the door for your spouse to be honest. If these checkup sessions are held in a loving, caring context, they will be extremely valuable. So, hey, talk to your wife. Say, hey, am I communicating better? Talk to your husband. Am I communicating? Am I making you read my mind? Talk. Become better communicators. It will bring intimacy into the marriage, and it will chase away a huge monster marriage killer. Let's pray.